Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
That's his game. They don't get back. They would look. Now look at his steal. Here's the steal. 3-on-1. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness.
With him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor, hops, incredible. Here comes Maven off the steal!
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. And people, when the universe speaks, you should listen. Steve Rubbish is not in the building. Jack is in the booth.
Yeah, listen, here's the thing. Here's my problem. I'm not in there today, and now you get this fancy window and all this stuff. So here we are on ESPN 680 today, and it's okay because a lot of people, you know, they'll figure it out. They switch over. They figure it out there, and that'll be fine. And a lot of people listen to us on podcasts, so that's okay. So we're getting it taken care of. But I'm like, man, did we have something today that was worrying people? Like, man, I'm like, okay, what is happening here? You know, like, what did Marcus come in saying he's going to talk about? So I don't know. I'm as excited as everybody else. So I'm ready to roll.
So let me tell you how this works. That is a little bit of feedback. Is that from Steve's or mine? Okay. It's a little echo, but we can go forward with this. Okay. It definitely could be worse. So here's the thing, Steve, the universe tells you these things way before they happen. You and I both know this. You and I have discussions about reset buttons. Those of you who are familiar with the format of Middays with Marcus Maven, you know where this is going. You absolutely know where this conversation is going at the beginning of the show. Steve, I talk about how your morning makes the show. There's always a lesson in your morning that can be interwoven with the show and your sports world.
Sure.
Steve, this morning was a reset morning. Let me just tell a quick story that this made me think about this morning, Steve. Okay.
I'm listening.
So I played for a team as a young man, and this team was called the Wiesbaden Bobcats. In Wiesbaden, Germany. The first time I ever like raised my hand to give a suggestion was when our coach was looking for a name, and we were all new to this team. It was like kind of a rec league team or whatever, YMCA, you know, type thing in Wiesbaden, Germany. And the coach said, anybody got any suggestions about what our team should be called? And I meekly raised my hand and I said, Wiesbaden Bobcats. He said, I like it. Rest of the team agreed. I was so proud of that little moment. Okay, that wasn't the story, but that was just a little part of this thing. Okay, Now, there was something that happened in our first little tournament that I never forgot, right? This is what happened. We came out as the Wiesbaden Bobcats to play a team. I think it was Kaiserslautern, BK, I can't remember for sure. But this team, we started out the game, Steve, it might have been 12-0. And in youth league, that's a big lead. You know what I'm saying? That's a big time blowout. And it happened really, really quick. We were hitting everything. And this was a big old huge team. And huge is probably like, they had guys that were 5'8".
Yeah, right.
Right.
Of course.
They're huge. There's no way that guy's 11. You know? But you get the point, right?
Yes.
This team was huge. This coach, and they were supposed to be really good. This coach called a timeout at a basketball game and told everybody to lay down on their backs, right? And here we are. We're winning 12-0. I'm looking down there like, what are they doing? And the coach is just has all their team laying down on their backs. Their eyes are closed, right? And he's talking to them and talking to them and talking to them. They get up off that ground, Steve, and proceed to beat the hell out of us.
Sure.
If the final score might have been.
Everybody knows a good little back lay will get you rolling.
Steve, the final score was probably 32-16.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, that was the first time I saw a reset, Steve.
Yep.
Just that you know, it took me a while. Like, I didn't process that at the time, you know. I didn't know if he hypnotized them. I don't know what he was. But as I remember the images vividly, but I, you know, it took a while for my mind to make what I just saw. He just told them, yeah, hey, y'all calm down, stick to the plan, and let's get up and play some basketball. You know, that's probably what was said. Steve. That's what I had this morning. Steve, I'm trying to get out the door. I try to get out the door at like 8:15, right? Yep. But things keep happening, right?
And I knew you were excited to get out today because you told the story. You've been in the house for the last 2 days.
Yes.
When I text you this morning, I expected the response you gave me because I said, there's no way he's staying in the house again today.
No
so I was
way.
Like, okay, I need to probably get ready to Lucy in today and you know, and kind of do it that way.
No way. Okay, so here's the thing, Steve. You know, I have this little slow, like it probably takes like once a month, I usually got to put air in my left rear tire, right?
Okay.
And this is one of those mornings, you know, I got one of those little, you know, plug into the, you know, the car lighter. I'll say lighter because the charger, you know, that pumps your air up. You know, it takes probably, you know, not even a full two minutes, right?
Sure.
So, but I've been putting it off, and I'm like, man, before I get on the road today, I got to make sure I hit that tire, right? Because I don't want anything to mess up. So That's one thing I have to do. Okay, I keep trying to get out the house, and oh, my camera. I keep trying to get out the house. Oh, my, you know, my brush, or you know, I keep trying to get out the house. Oh, that one thing I was supposed to take to the studio. I just had to go inside the house and back to the car too many times, right? So now I'm trying. Okay, everything's set up on the tire, and I'm jamming the charger thing into the, you know, into the slot or whatever. And it's just not connecting. It's not connecting. I don't know what's wrong. And, you know, I look down in there. I don't see anything. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, look, I've done this a million times, right?
Sure.
So I finally just kind of slow down and I say, okay, this charger should go in there. How is it possible that it's not going in there? So I look down in there and it's dark. So I look really, really close. And I see like this black, it's like a USB top that's jammed down in there, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's what happened.
That couldn't have been more perfect.
Okay. So listen, you know.
All right, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So this is.
It fired the brake as.
As normal. Yeah. On the other format. Okay, that's fine. So here's the thing. I look down there and it's stuck, Steve. And I say, okay, Now I okay. I know where my little Swiss Army knife is. I know, you know, where my little pliers are. Go in the house, grab the pliers really quick. You can get that thing out. Now I can't find the pliers. Like, I have a specially engraved Swiss Army knife that I never lose sight of. I always know because I always need it for something. I can't find the Swiss Army knife now. And I'm just like, this is just – but here's the thing. I plan to leave really early, so I got plenty of time. I'm not really up against the clock. But it's still just like, what's going on? And so I eventually find a different set of pliers. I get that little piece out. Now I'm getting the tires pumped and, you know, things like that. So now it's starting to roll. And now I'm just like, you know what? Time out. This was way too difficult, right? I go back in that house. I take off my shirt. I take off my look at my jacket, my shirt, my hat. My you know, like I take a full let me get a glass of water and let me just reset this whole morning. Like, you know, like literally cut the lights back on, go back to the room, just reset this whole morning just to get to the studio. And then I get to the studio.
Yeah. And you see Jack.
I see Jack. I see confused. Andy Sweeney, Jack, Patty Ice, they're making phone calls. They're getting ready to cuss out corporate. You know, they're getting ready to sell the station. I mean, they're just going crazy in here. It's like, we're just not, you know, can't have radio without you know, service. So I don't know what to do. And I'm like, this is perfect. This was absolutely perfect. Then they say, hey, you want to go to 680 studio? Begrudgingly, I agreed. No, I'm okay with this one. I'm like, sure. But anyway, that was the setup. And the way this is going to transition into theme part of the show, since everybody's just been listening to me, you know, what Stephen A. bloviate over my morning, I'm just going to set this one up right on. And here's the thing. Either you're going to be successful with this setup, or it's going to pull you down to the bottom of the ocean like a heavy anchor. How is Louisville football going to reset against Pittsburgh?
Well, it's interesting because that's kind of what Malik talked about yesterday. Malik and Dwayne Ledford. I mean, that was kind of the theme almost of the conversation was, okay, all right, we know that that's not who we are. So, different things on third down. Malik was very adamant about, you know, look, on third down, 0-for-6, that's not us. That's not what we do. I mean, and again, they were very complimentary of Miami over the past week. Like Coach Satterfield was on Monday, but I do think that they know there's a piece that was like, okay, we didn't execute in a lot of areas, and that's on us. Okay, so not taken away from Miami, but as I go back and I've watched that Miami-Louisville game from last week again, I kind of agree, and I say, okay, I'm bringing this back around too, but I'm saying there's a lot of what I've watched in that game since the game that says, okay, my immediate reaction was simply just, well, they were better, it didn't matter, nothing we could have done would have won the game. Mm-hmm. The more I watch that game, though, the more I'm starting to go, okay, maybe to an extent that could be correct, but also we did a lot of things that was out of character for what we do.
Elaborate.
Well, for one, on third down, a lot of the Malik, for instance, not getting rid of the football, not it was time. I thought the offensive line wasn't as bad. I don't know. I mean,
you mean like he bailed out too quick?
Yeah, like it got very like almost like the moment maybe got to him.
No, because we listen, which would make total sense because pregame we talked about, hey, Malik going out trying to outduel De'Aaron King, like any normal person looking for national respect would do, get caught up in the battle between Oh, yeah, I just wanted you to know we could hear you, so.
Yeah, Jack just turned my mic on. He just turned the mic on.
Boy.
Yeah, I mean, what are you trying Jesus. To do? What are you trying
that
to
was
do?
A set.
Grossman?
You are.
What's he doing right now? I just turned the mic on. Hey, what are we doing here? I could have been taking a shot at Rummage.
I know, man. Hey, like, come on.
I could have been giving a hot take. Anyway, I'm just interjecting here. You guys are on every station right now, just so you know. 93.9, that's back for now. Me and Patty Ice have been under the hood, as they would say. Cool. Just pretty much unplugging everything, plugging it back in, unplugging everything, plugging it back in, and everything else. So you guys are on. You guys are Dina right now. Feel like Double D right now?
I feel like a vice president. I can handle the spot. Not the paycheck, but everything else. You know what's great?
It's great that at least as my fantasy football season ends for the ESPN Louisville League with Christian McCaffrey going down, I got to pound Rummage one more time, right?
On the way out the door.
Yes, on my way out the door.
Be careful with that hot mic.
All right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, there's nothing like a good pounding for Andy King, right? So I heard. ask around the town. He did too. He beat the crap out of me. He had like 170 points or something. I was like, what the?
I would just blame the scoring system. Just
no, I know. I was like the roster. Like what the heck, man? So like, yeah, but it was terrible. And he's right. His season is over. He was asking for trades today. And I'm looking at his roster. I'm like, I don't want anybody.
That's why I drafted like five running backs on my first five picks because I knew this was going to happen. So
yeah,
I'm gonna be open for business.
Well done. Okay. So then, if you were listening,
De'Aaron King, Malik Cunningham.
Yeah.
Duel, get lost in a duel, get caught up in a duel. Everybody who's played any bit of sports who had a crosstown kid, rival, or something, you've either played your best game or your worst game against that guy. I mean, these are natural things. You hate when it happens. You hate when your team does it. You hate to even bring up that excuse when you're talking to, you know, rival talk or when you're, you know, trying to justify, but it's one of the more natural superstar moment attempting to be superstar moments you'll have.
Oh no, absolutely. And look, it was one of those where
it's Jordan Wara against Kentucky or something. You know what I'm saying? You knew he was pressing. You knew he wanted to have a big game in this moment and you know, went hero ball, you know, a little bit. You know, like I said, everybody does it, but you just hate when you see it happen from your team.
Well, and I think it happened, and that's what I say. I'm going back and I'm watching the condensed game. I'm watching some of the game a little more, and I'm going, okay, Malik is very out of character here. So again, I'm not necessarily walking back that I think Miami was a better team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think Miami impressed me a lot, which believe it or not, Marcus, happens. You go into a season in game two, and you go, well, I don't know if this team's very good, and then you watch the game, and you go, oh no, they're pretty good. And because, I mean, again, Louisville wasn't pathetic the other night. Now, if they had stances on defense, I'm more talking offensively. Mm-hmm. Defense, you could argue at times they were pathetic. But even then, I mean, you're talking one or two guys that were just out of position. I think that personnel-wise will be fixed this week from kind of what we're hearing and stuff. So I think they're going to move some things around. I know there's going to be a new starting corner, and some different things that they feel like is going to help them. But it's one of those deals where I'll go back offensively and I go, you know, I think the moment got to Malik and maybe to an extent the coaches.
I'm listening.
With the play calling, with personnel moves, with moving guys in and out at times, I think that maybe you could have simplified things sometimes. And if you could go back, I wouldn't be surprised if in a meeting, if Scott Satterfield or you know, Coach Satterfield, and then the guys are probably like, well, you know, third and four, Javian's running it well. I probably could have just went two with Javian and one, or you know, and different things, but. I mean, that happens. That happens.
I know. And here's, like I said, this is not me putting on a cape because I pretty much have this same perspective in most situations when you're talking about early season. The perspective of I don't have a problem running the same six plays.
I agree.
Marcus Maben does not have a problem
no.
running the same six plays.
But you know me, I don't either. I don't have a problem with that. Like I
just
I
as long
don't.
As they work.
No, Jack.
Not even if they work. I'm okay with it because I understand that if that's what you do, I think you have to establish what you do. Like, it's just, I think that you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, but again, six plays with multiple options. Sometimes you have to streamline even those options. Like I said, everybody knows I come from a culture of the first, like I said, training camp, basketball training camp under the Coach Crum system is running that high post rotation with a tennis ball for weeks. You don't even get a basketball yet. You have to earn the right to get to a basketball.
Yeah.
You have to run these plays for 3 hours straight with a tennis ball. So it's so second nature. But here's the thing. If I get to game two against Miami and you start running these same six plays a little different than when than you did in preseason, than you did against Western, listen, if we don't learn this stuff now, we'll never, like, it's going to hurt us. So I cannot change the plays. I can't start running our creative stuff. I can't do a Tutu Atwell halfback pass in game number two to try to get something going if they're not making the simple right decisions, if they're not seeing the simple lineups in the beginning of the game. I refuse to do it until I find the players that are going to execute this simple stuff. Because if I do, if I change, if I get creative, I'm gonna get somebody killed.
See, I agree, but my
it's hard to watch though, Steve.
No, I know. But even my issue was it wasn't that they weren't pulling out the deep parts of the playbook. My thing was, and again, I keep going back to this, but when it's third and four and we throw a 2 yard out and it's covered, like, yeah, I mean, I understand that may have worked, but I feel like you're watching Javian Hawkins play. I would like to have established it's 4 yards. We believe. Because it was obvious two down territory, and this happened two or three times when you were third and five or within, and didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And it's like to me, I can Javian Hawkins and my offensive line, I can get 4 yards in two plays, and if I can't, then I tip my cap to Miami because they made two plays.
Okay, contrarian.
Okay,
4 yards, I should be able. You know what? Here, I'll agree with you and disagree.
Okay.
4 yards, I should be able to do a simple, quick, hot rollout with Tutu Atwell no matter what. When that doesn't work, you're like, that's a bad play call. Give it to Javian Hawkins and get 2 yards up the middle. Yeah. Right? But I still, like I said, that one's one of those posthumously bad calls. You know,
yes.
but just when you say it out loud, I got Tutu Atwell on a 4 yard out route. With Malik Cunningham rolling out to the right.
That sounds pretty ideal.
I should be able to get that. Yeah, but again, when he misses it, it's like, dude, we're getting this on tape and we got to have this conversation.
It's like when the star player in a basketball game, the end of the game, passes it off to a role player in the corner for the wide open three and he misses it at the buzzer. And everyone gets mad at the star for not shooting.
Yeah. I mean, that's the LeBron effect. I mean, you know, where it's like, well, he makes the play, but he, you know, they don't finish the play.
Okay, so convince me that that's I don't know. Am I convinced that that's a bad call or a good call? Because during the game, it's the worst call you ever made. But in hindsight, I'm just like, I have to be able to call this, Malik Tutu. I have to be able to call this play.
I can. Okay, you partially win me over with that. I will say you partially win me over with that. That if I'm Coach Satterfield, I'm saying, look,
especially
I have
in game two.
Sure. I have to be able to call this, and you guys know how to execute this. It was almost like CeeDee Lamb in game one against the Rams. You have a third down, and CeeDee Lamb runs the route inside the linebacker, thinking, well, I can just outrun him, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, this is the league, bro. You can't do that. And he runs a beautiful route, gets open, catches the ball, and it's 1-2 yards short of the third down.
No. You know what it's like, Steve? It's like your whole fantasy game is like depending on DeAndre Swift to catch a perfect back shoulder throw from Matthew Stafford, and you know you watch him drop it, and then you go,
It's a perfect play.
That's the perfect play. And I'm not going to yell at a coach. I'm not going to yell at a defense. I'm not going to yell at anybody. I'm not even going to yell. I'm going to go back to film room, and we're going to say back and to the left. Back and to the left. Like, listen, like the Kennedy assassination, back and to the left.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Louisville football, Kennedy assassination, it all goes together.
I have to. No, it's the film review of what movie am I saying? JFK. It's called JFK. But yeah, it's just I'm going to replay this, and if you this play right here, if we can't execute this play, Louisville.
Yeah.
This is a staple. I have the fastest guy in college football. Yeah. Right? And one of the more athletic quarterbacks. If I cannot roll you two to the same side and get 4 yards off this, you can't be my quarterback, and you're not improving as a wide receiver, Tutu. If we can't get you two on the page on this one, we have to have four plays that can get us 4 yards in one possession. I should not be slamming Javian Hawkins into a stacked box for 4 yards, or my option B is a prayer 4 yard out, a fingers crossed 4 yard out. I'm going to run it again. Those are the plays that you do in practice where you tell the coach to tell them we're running a four yard out. You know what I'm saying? And basically we're going to say, y'all play this heads up. Like, don't cheat on it, but we're telling you what we run. And if we can't get this 8 out of 10, either that's an All-American cornerback guarding him, right? Or we're going to have to make some changes. But the play call will not be different when I go get Evan Conley. Somebody will be running that route. The same route and the same play. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. You're right. You're right. And I'm here with that. But I'm still.
I still want to win. I want that first down.
Go ahead. After I tried it once or twice, it's like, okay, just Javian, for the love of God, go get me 4 yards. Like, can we get 4 yards?
No.
And can we keep the drive going?
No, Steve. It's like teaching a child. You have to keep on. You watched your child try to climb up on stuff that you knew he was going to hurt himself. You knew he was going to hurt himself, but you had to let him do it, and you had to let him hurt himself, and you had to let him cry. I mean, listen. Of course, keep him out of concussion protocol. But you got to let him fall off that stool that he shouldn't be on after you took him off of it and said, no, no, no. Why? Go ahead. You'll see.
Well, yeah, true. But I also didn't have millions of dollars on the line and millions of people's happiness, you know.
But it's your wife's happiness, so it's the equivalent.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's really not. So, you know, my wife doesn't have to hear all the crap either, you know? So it's like, okay. You know, like people don't come up to my house and go, your kid fell off the slide. You know, like, yeah, I know.
Good point. While we got it rolling, let's take our commercial break. Let's keep on schedule. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coyle Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COYLE75. So visit COYLEDEALS.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COYLE75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coyle, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters. Messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Louisville Pitt football coverage. Louisville football looks to bounce back Saturday as the Cards take on Pitt. And 93.9 The Ville is your place for all the latest with the Cards as we lead up to the kickoff. Be sure to tune in to the Coors Light pregame show with Pat Jaggers and Taylor Lynch immediately after the game. Join Mark Ennis for the official Coors Light postgame show around 3 p.m. We'll hear live from head coach Scott Satterfield, player sound, take your calls, texts, and more. Steve?
Yeah, the Vols, man, they open up the season. A little Tennessee comeback, you know. Look, the Vols open up season Saturday, 7:30.
Were you able to score some tickets?
I can get tickets if need be. But they got a nice little game with the Gamecocks down in South Carolina because they're playing in South Carolina. So, I mean, you know. So yeah, whatever. But yeah, man. So anyway, just look, that's my side chick, so remember.
Yeah, no, yeah, and there has been no secret about that. Okay, here's the thing. I don't want to go too far into the different lineups that need the reset. Position groups. I mean position rooms. I mean like who would you assign, or right now, or do we just stick with how do we get Malik Cunningham a real reset? Or is he the individual that probably needs the reset the most? Is it Brian Brown, Malik? Is it coach? Is it overall? Like, who would you point to and say, okay, you need to be the guy to lay down and meditate?
I don't know that I'm saying Malik would be the guy that needs it the most, but I'll stick with him since I know we're coming up at the top of the hour here. I'll stick with him and we'll get to the other stuff in the next hour, but with him in particular, offensively, I think it is as simple as him. I really do. I think it's as simple as him. I think the wide receivers had and now remember they did say yesterday Hassan Hall, or maybe Monday, Hassan Hall's day to day, so we may see a little bit more of Berkeley or Robbins or Mitchell in there on Saturday if Hassan Hall can't go behind Javian Hawkins, but I do think that it would simply be Malik. I thought the offensive line wasn't terrible. I go back to that. I said that earlier, but I keep going back to, I didn't think they were terrible. I didn't think they were really bad in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought Miami, if anything, I thought Miami beat up on our tight ends a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, when you say line, offensive line, are we sure Javian Hawkins wasn't just Javian Hawkins? I mean, of course we know they go hand in hand. Javian Hawkins made some guys miss, and he did some work.
No, he did, but people will immediately just run back to the play where he reversed field, and it's very easy to say, okay, that's how the whole game went. I mean, Javian right. Hawkins just reversed field, made plays. It's like, no, that was one play where, yeah, Javian Hawkins is All-American worthy, and he showed why.
Right, I'm just trying to
no, I mean, separate. Javian Hawkins made guys miss, but he was making guys miss in the second level. I mean, and here's the thing. What do you constitute as a successful offensive line? To me, if there's a hole and Javian Hawkins gets through it and gets 3 yards on first down, that's a good play. I mean, you know, I mean that's a play that was successful. So, you know, I don't know if you okay. So if Javian Hawkins,
yeah, I was kind of trying to get a grade level, like, okay, is Javian Hawkins A+ and line B+, or is line A+? And Javian Hawkins A+, you know, like just kind of,
yeah.
If we're going to separate the grade, where would you put those at?
Well, because, I mean, simply there was a play early in the game. Javian Hawkins breaks to the line, gets a shoestring tackle. He would have taken for about 80 yards for a touchdown. Well, that was a successful play for the offensive line. They did everything that needed to be done there. Yeah, absolutely. They did everything needed to be done right there. And Javian Hawkins, look, the linebacker made a great play. Come up, made a great play on Javian Hawkins, got him shoestring tackle. Javian made a great play by, you know, it was just, it was, that's one of those where you go, O-line, good job. Javian, good job. Linebacker, great job. I don't, you know, I mean, it was just a great play. So, yeah, I thought that the play there was pretty good. All around. So when I go to that and I say, okay, everything was fine there. Okay, did I see a lot of dropped balls? I didn't see. So I say, okay, well, the O line. I mean, the wide receivers feel like they were okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the deal here?
Okay, remind me of the wide receiver. We have not talked about the wide receiver group at all. And because we haven't, I don't assume there's much we need to discuss about their play. There weren't any missed assignments that stand out. There weren't any drops that really stand out. I mean, there was one, you know, in traffic contested that I look back and I say, Justin, you are our contested catch guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get that ball. The one that turned into an interception, which was a fluke interception, by the way. I still say, I want you to be an All-American right there. I want you to catch that football. Like he, you know, it was probably a bad decision of where he put it, but you got your hands on the football. You got to come down with it.
Sure. I agree with that. Now, I do think, though, that for the most part, you know, I mean, it felt like there were some things that, you know, not necessarily that they weren't getting open. Because, again, that's a tough thing to gauge, you know. Mm-hmm. It's tough to gauge that when you look and you say, okay, was it Malik? How much is on Malik? How much is on receiver?
So if you grade your quarterback a C, it's hard to tell overall on the offensive performance. It's hard to grade the rest of the offensive structures. Basically what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Without knowing everything about, you know, what was called and how it was done. So,
rolling along, people. Great effort by everybody to get the show up and running. Proud of y'all. So reward us by coming back for the next hour. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.